Where do things stand as we head into further into the early voting period and get closer to Election Day? We're joined on the phone now by Tom Jensen, who's the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh, publicpolicypolling.com, their website, at PPP Polls on Twitter for more news and analysis there. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So 2 weeks and a day out from the election, what are we seeing now as the state of the race?
Well, things are definitely overall moving towards the Republicans, House, Senate, governorships, basically everything is moving in the GOP's direction. And it's really an outgrowth of something we've been talking about all year. I think even, 6 months ago, we were talking about the fact that within our polls, it looks like most of the people who weren't sure how they were going to vote were people who were unhappy with President Biden. And the reason that they were undecided is maybe they weren't sold on the Republican candidates. Maybe they in general feel like the Republican Party has gotten too extreme, that sort of thing. But one thing that we know historically is that in midterm elections, people at the end of the day generally end up voting based on how they feel about the occupant of the White House. And what we've seen happen over the last month is a lot of those undecided voters who didn't like Biden, maybe didn't like the Republicans either, a lot of those folks are starting to decide, hey, I'll just vote Republican. The disliking Biden is their primary motivator for how to vote.
So when all of that is factored in, what are we looking at in terms of the starting on the national level? What are we looking at in terms of the House and Senate?
I think the Senate's still going to be very close. Right now, I think the races that are the most up in the air are probably Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, and all four of those, I would say, are basically tied. And places like Pennsylvania and Arizona in particular really sort of exemplify how things have changed over the last month or so. You know, earlier in the year, there were a good number of polls showing John Fetterman up by quite a bit in Pennsylvania for the Democrats, showing Mark Kelly up by quite a bit for the Democrats in Arizona. And also showing that people just didn't like the Republican candidates in those races. And what we've really seen happen over the last month is that voters maybe still don't like the Republican candidates in those races, but they're just voting for them anyway. I mean, something that I've, sort of been saying about this trend is you can sort of trust Republicans to do the wrong thing in the end. They might know that Dr. Oz is terrible. They might know that Herschel Walker is terrible. But probably when push comes to shove, they're going to end up voting for them. And it's been interesting in some of our polls to see the hesitancy to admit it. We did a poll in one top-tier Senate race last week and found the Democrat up 45-40, and they were like 11% undecided and 4% going to third-party candidates. And then we said to the 15% who didn't pick one of the two major candidates, okay, but really, who are you going to vote for? And the Democrat went from being up 45-40 to being down 47-46. Like the Republican gained 7 points when you push people, and the Democrat only gained a point. And that's because Republicans know that they shouldn't vote for who their candidate is in that race. But if you really push them on it, they admit that they're going to.
What does that mean for North Carolina?
Well, I think, the Senate race in North Carolina is still very close. And a big part of why it's been so close in a midterm climate that favors Republicans, where, maybe Ted Budd should have been up by 6 or 7 points all along, is we saw a big disparity in enthusiasm between how Democrats felt about their candidate and how Republicans felt about their candidate. Democrats are really fired up about Sherry Beasley. Republicans are not so fired up about Ted Budd. And I think that's been a big contributor to this race being so close. And it's still close. But the question is, all those Republicans who aren't that excited about Ted Budd, are they just going to end up voting for him in the end? And if they do, he's going to end up winning by probably 3 or 4 points.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling, we've been talking about the Senate race. Where does the House stand?
Definitely getting dicier and dicier for Democrats on the House front. There's a lot of districts that Joe Biden won by maybe 9-10 points in 2020 that are becoming very competitive for the House this year. But one thing that's interesting and that's particularly relevant to North Carolina is you might think in a vacuum, well, if Republicans are starting to be really competitive in seats that Biden won by 8 or 9 points, then Republicans must totally have it made in seats that Republicans only won by 1 or 2 points, and that Biden only won by 1 or 2 points. And we have one of those right here in the Triangle, the 13th Congressional District, where Democrat Wiley Nichols facing off against Republican Beau Hines in a district that voted for Biden by about 1.5 points. We did a poll last week and found that that race is still tied. So even though some of these even bluer districts are starting to get dicey for Democrats, it doesn't mean that these competitive districts are totally coming off the table. There's actually a pretty wide playing field for the U.S. House this year, I think more than people maybe expected. And some of its seats coming into play that maybe shouldn't have been in play because they were too Democratic, but the Republicans having a good year is bringing them into play. But then there's also a lot of seats that are staying on the table as competitive because of things like Republicans nominating Beau Hines in NC-13 when he's like the next coming of Madison Cawthorn, and voters know that they don't want that. So there's actually a lot of uncertainty about exactly where the numbers are going to end up in the House as we head toward Election Day. So there's a lot more close races than we thought there would be.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling, that's what's happening on the national level. How about the state level in North Carolina? Obviously, a lot of key races for North Carolina General Assembly, for instance, control of the House and Senate, and a couple of Supreme Court seats as well. Where do things stand there?
For the legislature, it's really going to be right on the line, I think, about whether Republicans can win enough seats to get veto-proof majorities in the House and Senate. And in some sense, emasculate Roy Cooper for the rest of his time in office if they can just overturn anything that he vetoes. So I think similar to the U.S. House picture, there's a lot of really close races for North Carolina House, a lot of really close races for North Carolina Senate. Democrats need to be able to win at least 40% of the seats in both the House and Senate. And I think, you know, it could be a late night seeing whether they quite win enough seats to do that or not. So certainly, you know, there's so much attention on the national picture right now, but people in your listening area sort of thinking about a way to make a difference here in the last 2 weeks, your volunteer energy, your money, et cetera, going to go a lot further on these legislative races in North Carolina than they are for national stuff. And ultimately, of course, what happens with the dynamic between the legislature and the governor may have more impact on our lives than what happens in Washington. Supreme Court races and other judicial races statewide, I'd expect them to be very close like they usually are. They usually all go one way or the other. In 2016, Republicans won all of them. In 2018, Democrats won all of them. In 2020, Republicans won all of them. I think you'll see that trend continue this year where whichever way it turns out, it's probably going to be one party having a sweep.
And then finally, as we wrap up, with all of that in mind, we've talked so much about midterm elections in recent history being just like huge sweep years for the party that's out of the White House, big for the Democrats in 2006 and 2018, really big for Republicans in 2010 and 2014. How is this year, do you think, going to shape up relative to those?
I think that we're probably heading for something 2014-like, where it definitely comes out as a good year for Republicans. But are Republicans going to end up picking up something like 60 seats or whatever the number was in 2010 in the U.S. House? I don't know that that's going to happen. Republicans flipped something like 20 legislative chambers in 2010. I don't think you're going to see something like that happen again. So I think it's going to be more like a very good year for Republicans in like 2014, but not something that sort of like cataclysmically alters the electoral landscape like the 2010 election did. I mean, North Carolina is still very much feeling the effects of that 2010 election 12 years later and may well be in another decade. And I don't think this election is likely to have that sort of impact.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website for more information. At PPP Polls is the Twitter handle for more news and analysis there. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.